So we are in, let me try this again. So continuation from July, the man born blind. As I was meditating on this, we did sort of the first half last time. I'm going to try and do the first quick review of the first half and then get into the second half. But you got it. Let me put it in context. Okay, in chapter 8, they bring the woman to the church. Jesus is teaching a sermon. They bring the woman to church, what they call their temple, their synagogue. They bring her right in the midst of his sermon. This is chapter 8. And says, we caught her in adultery. Do something about it. Moses said, kill her. What do you say? Jesus exposes their sins. They all leave. He tells her to sin, to go no more, to go and sin no more. Then he tells them he's the light of the world. Then they have this conversation about your mama's H-O-E and your daddy's the devil. I mean, it's really heated. This is chapter 8. Then Jesus declares that he's God. And then they throw stones at him to try and kill him. And then he walks out and we pick it up in chapter 9. So at this point, it's obvious this is the 6 of 8 miracles in the book of John. And at this point, it's obvious that they hate Jesus to death. What they used to say in the old day, I hate your guts. This is where it's at now. They don't like each other. The tone of this is very combative because they don't like each other. And so here we go. And as Jesus passed by, let me find my glasses. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Underline that. This brother's been blind since birth, and he's a grown man now. He's passing by. So as he's passing by through the temple, they're throwing stones at him. But as he's passing by, there's a man who was born blind. So even the hatred can't stop the grace of God. Even the frustration can't stop the grace of God. And even in the midst of being hated, God still has time for those who love him and call out to him. And as we get frustrated in this world, especially in this culture that's so anti-God and anti-Christ, we can't be so distracted and so frustrated that we forget the ministry opportunities that's right in front of us. We can't allow the distractions and the frustration to allow us to miss the opportunities to minister. I don't know how old this man was, but we know that from birth to adulthood that he's been blind. He's been waiting on a miracle. He's been waiting on God. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes God heals like that. Other times it takes a while. The man at the pool of Bethesda, 38 years. The lady with the issue of blood, 12 years. And here we have this gentleman all his life. And then it comes down in verse 2, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? We're always looking for somebody to blame for where we are. Somebody say amen, right? Amen. It has to be somebody's fault for him to be like that. Oh, it just didn't happen. Whose fault is it? Who can I blame for where I am? It's my boss' fault. It's my parents' fault. Yeah, I'd love to blame them. I love to blame my kids. I love to blame the police or somebody else because it's always somebody's fault because of where I am. But the sin is not the issue. The issue is, do you want to be made whole? Because he's a grown man, and he was born like this. So even the issues we were born with, God can still heal. So it's really not the issue. But then we do know on the flip side of that coin that sin does cause issues. Yes. Sin does cause, it's some issues that happen because of sin. We can't overlook that either. Yeah, it does. And we'd be wise just to kind of not add to those issues with sin, complicate our life with sin. I think we talked about it last week. When you leave your job, where do you need to go?
Home.
There you go, home. You leave the gym, where you need to go?
Home.
Yeah. You leave church, you need to go?
Home.
Maybe you want to get something to eat, then go home. Right. You know, I'll give you a pass on that. But don't go to somebody else's house to eat. It could cause a problem. No, the sin does cause issues. Looking for somebody to blame. Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. So situations happen. Bad things happen to good people so that God can show off in their life. That's a tough one. Because it's a prosperity gospel out there saying that you should never have any issues. You should never have any problems. But God says sometimes you got to go through some stuff. Otherwise, how can I show up and you give me the glory?
Amen.
Everything that you and I go through, good, bad or ugly, we should twist it and turn it around so that God gets the glory.
Amen.
That's why we're going through it. There's no other reason for we go through our successes, our failures, our highs and our lows, wherever we are, we got to turn it around and give God the glory. Because what could you really do by yourself anyway? What could you and I really do by ourselves besides mess some more stuff up? Jesus says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work, which lets us know it's a certain time period that we have to operate with the grace of God and the purpose of God, because it's a time coming where we won't even be here to do anything. So we got to work now because time is short. And if you look around at the signs today, it's telling us we need to really be working 24/7. And then look what Jesus said. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. In chapter 8, he told him I'm the light of the world. And then the light gives sight. Isn't that, what does light do? You turn on the light, it gives sight. He not only spiritually, but he's physically. He says, I'm the light of the world, and I'm getting ready to give somebody sight.
All right.
The light gives sight. That's what Jesus does. He told him he was light of the world. They didn't get it. Now he's getting ready to prove it. And sometimes, as we'll see with the Pharisees, they were spiritually blind, where the man was physically blind. And then the man is physically able to see, and he's spiritually able to see. The Pharisees, they were physically able to see, but they were spiritually blind in their heart and their mind. You can't have sight and be blind as a bat in your mind and your heart when it comes to the things of God. So that's what's going on right here. And Jesus can't force you. He can't force you or me. To have sight, we have to receive it. We have to be open to receive it. He won't force you, as we'll see right here. Verse 6, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground. By the way, make a notice, the ground that he created. Read John 1:1 if you don't know. The beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that is made. So he spits on the ground that he made. And he made clay of the spit and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, which seems a little weird for me. But then God doesn't always move the way we think God should move. We want it to be cut and dry and neat and a cookie cutter. And God says, no, it might include a little bit of dirt and a little bit of spit. You might be a little uncomfortable when God says, I need you to live this way and to cut loose some of those friends. And to do this and to do that, that's uncomfortable for me. Yeah, it might be, but it's best for you, and God knows. But look at verse 7. He has said he has to go. You still have to go and do something. Make a note, obedience brings revelation. Some things you and I will never see until we line up with what God has for us. And we'll be blind to certain purposes in our life because there's so much sin in that area that we can't see it. And why would God show it to you? You're not going to do anything about it anyway. Why would God show you certain things if you're not going to do it? Well, God, I'm waiting. I need you to be clear. God said, I need you to be. I'm waiting on God. He's waiting on me. God's over here. I'm waiting on you. You over here. I'm waiting on God. God said, look, I'm waiting on you. And God, but I need to know. God said, well, I need. Why would I show you? You're not doing the little things I've asked you to do. He spit on the ground, put that stuff on his eyes, and he said, you need to go. And you need to wash in a certain place. Specifics. On Wednesday night, we've been going through the book of Leviticus, and God is a God of specifics and details. God tells him exactly what to do and how to do it, what size, what shape, and how it should be done. And right here, Jesus said, go wash in the pool, in the water, and wash your face and go show somebody. Verse 7, he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. He still had to do it.
Yes.
In order for the light to give you sight, you still got to do something about it. He could have said, man, what is wrong with this dude? He done spit on the ground. He done wiped his stuff on my face. And they're going to tell me to go somewhere. Dude must be crazy. I ain't doing nothing. Who is this Jesus dude? Verse 8, the neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Isn't that something? People are noticing the change in your life. It might be a little change, but people are noticing. Oh, so you don't drink no more? See, they notice. Aren't you the same one who used to? So you don't do this anymore. You don't do that. So what are you? You're a holy roller. You're holier than thou. It's not even. It's always haters. They want to bring up your past when you're in the midst of changing, but they notice it. Stand strong. Stay strong. Stay the course. But it's noticeable. Not only do they notice it, but God notices it, which is more important. Even with the blind man, he couldn't see Jesus, but Jesus saw him. You might not feel like God is dialed into where you are and God has left you and God doesn't understand. But trust me, God sees you. He sees you right where you are. Verse 9. Some said, this is him. Others said, it's like him. But he said, hey, it's me. Yeah, my life has been changed. Therefore, they said unto him, how were your eyes open? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus. Somebody underline that. That's it. Go to your job tomorrow. Well, you might have the day off tomorrow. Go to your job Tuesday and let them know a man called Jesus and watch him just start scattering. That's what's going to happen in verse 16. It causes division. Nobody wants to hear about the man called Jesus. He made clay and he anointed my eyes. And he said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And look what he says at the bottom of the end of verse 11. I went, I washed, and I received. Went, washed, and received. Amen. Almost like our ABCs. Accept, believe, and confess. The ABCs of salvation. You got to do something. You still have to do something. He said, Jesus made the clay, but I went. God's word tells us what to do, but we still got to go and live this thing. It tells us what to do. That's why we're reading the Proverbs. That's why we're reading Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13. But we still got to go in love and we still got to go live with wisdom. It tells us what to do, but we still have to go and do what it's told us to do. We have to actively participate in our spiritual growth. You cannot put it on autopilot or cruise control. We have to actively participate in our spiritual growth. Amen. Then they said unto him, verse 12, where is he? And he said, I know not. Make a note. Jesus doesn't have to be there for you to get your healing. You don't have to be there. You can be healed and you don't even have to know that God is there. But you just have to live an obedient life. You have to live on purpose. It doesn't happen on accident. All right, let me get through this. All right, let's go, Pastor. All right, let's go. They brought to the Pharisees. Now they brought to the religious folks. Make a note. This chapter can also be titled Religion versus Relationship. Religion is man's way of trying to reach God. Relationship is Jesus Christ trying to get us to believe in him. God wants to have a relationship with him. The religious folks, they just go through all the motions and try and look like they're holy and religious. Jesus called them whitewashed tombs. You look so pretty on the outside, but inside you're dead man's bones. That's the religious folks. Instead of celebrating, they're hating. Instead of praising God, they're persecuting. They're persecuting the man that was healed by God. You would think that someone who's holy would celebrate when someone else got a blessing. You would think someone involved in church would celebrate you when you got blessed. You would, especially the leaders. They're more interested in than what are you talking about, as opposed to who caused the miracle. But remember, they hated Jesus. At this time, they hate Jesus' guts, so they don't want to hear that name. That's the last thing they want to hear, is this guy who just declared to be God, who talked about our daddy, and who exposed all of our sins. They don't want to hear nothing else about this dude. Verse 12, they said unto him, where is he? He said, I don't know. They brought him to the Pharisees that was before blinding. It was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. There you go. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he'd received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon me. How many times? Is this the second time he's explaining himself? Okay, he put clay upon my eyes and I washed and I do see. Therefore, some said of the Pharisees, this man is not of God because he keep the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was division among them. See, you got the religious folks and you got those that's looking for a relationship with God. It's just like it is today. Some are going to believe and some aren't. Jesus definitely caused division in the world. He should cause unity in the church. Somebody say amen. Amen. We should all be unified around Jesus Christ and God's word. In the church, but in the world, expect division. Don't expect the people in your job and who you hang out with and you see and you meet. Don't expect them to understand how you are rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ, how you're seeking a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They won't understand. They say in verse 17, they say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he opened your eyes? He said, he's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called his parents of him that had received his sight. Ain't that something? You can't force people to believe. When people have their mind made up, we all have someone we've talked to, but it's just, you got to let God work it out. We can't be the Holy Spirit. In the midst of a miracle, they still refuse. They went and got this man's mama and daddy. They hated Jesus that much that we don't believe him. Go get his mom and daddy. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born, blind? How then doth he see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him. He can speak for himself. But you see, look what was going on. Verse 22. These words were spoke by his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the church. So they're afraid of people. They're afraid to speak up on God because the people around them. Amen. Anybody been there before? Amen. Yeah, it gets kind of tough. I'm going to look like the weird one again. Here I am. I'm always speaking up on God's behalf. I'm always the weird one. Well, I know our youth feel it at school. We feel it in our job, especially with the persecution these days, being a Christian. But here's a prayer. God, deliver us from the opinions of other people. How many bad decisions and poor choices have we made because we didn't really want to offend the other people, but then we offend God? Let the people start being disappointed and God being exalted. Let the people start being disappointed and let God be glorified. Man, it's the same thing we deal with, afraid of people. It's tough. I'm telling you, it's tough. You're out there and the men know it. We're out here. We're trying to provide for our families, and the whole work environment could be anti-God and anti-Christ, and something comes up and you, if I say this, I might get fired, or they might let me go, or they won't extend the contract. So I don't know if I should say it. I get it. It's tough. It was tough for them. It was their son, and they didn't want to speak up. How can your son be born blind? And he's a man, and he gets healed, and you're afraid to say that God did it. Same way we could wake up every morning and be blessed, and somebody asks you, how you doing? You go, no, God woke me up. I feel really good today. I get it. Good morning. It is a good morning. God woke me up this morning. Now, he's weird. Yes, he is. Yeah. She's weird. That's the weird one. Going to put them out to church. That's crazy, ain't it? The religious folks, the pastors, going to kick people out of the church for glorifying God. Some serious issues going on right here. Verse 23, therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again they called the man that was born blind, bless you, and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said unto them, whoa, hold up, brother. Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know, but I know one thing. I know that one time I was blind, but now I see. You say what you want to say. I don't know about all that other stuff. You can't argue with a changed life. You want to start calling names and all that? I don't know. I just know how I used to live, and I know how I'm living now. I don't know what I used to do and what I'm doing now. I don't know about all that stuff. Well, Jesus isn't God. He's not God. He didn't resurrect. I don't know about all that. But I know I didn't have the power to live right when I was on my own. But now that I've been filled with the Holy Spirit, I know that I can live right, and I'm living right. And I know the peace and the joy and the love, all the stuff that you can't buy that comes with serving God. So I don't know about all that you're talking, but this is what I do know. I was blind, but now I see. Verse 26. Then they said to him again, what did he to thee? How did he open your eyes? He said, man, I've already told you. What is this? Is this the fifth time he's explaining this? But remember, I told you, you got to understand the context. They hate his guts. They don't want to give Jesus glory for nothing. They don't want to acknowledge that he's the son of the living God. They don't want to acknowledge that he's the light of the world. And when people don't want to acknowledge it, it's nothing you and I can do. We can tell them, we can talk to them till they're blue in the face. And till we're blue in the face. Don't matter. He answered verse 27. I'm a wrap up first closing. He answered them, and I've told you already, he did not, and you did not hear. Make a note. It's a difference between hearing and listening. I heard what you said, but I'm not listening to what you're saying. And that here in the Greek is translated to listen. Man, I've already told you, but you're not listening because you don't want to change your life. You want to keep doing what you're doing. So you're going to keep making excuses. And when people are right there, you can't do anything but pray for them. Hopefully this is liberating someone who's been trying to figure out, why won't this person see? Why don't they get it? Because it's not time. They don't want to see it. And there's nothing you can do. The miracle is right in front of them. The miracle of life. They don't see it. We talked about it, I think it was two Wednesdays ago, how the miracles, we can't get used to the miracles of God. Waking up every morning. And if any of you have ever seen a baby being born, where life comes out of life, that just happened. It doesn't just happen. Verse verse 27. He answered them, I have told you already and you did not hear. Wherefore, would you hear it again? Will you become his disciples? Man, then they probably cussed him out. Verse 28, they said it reviled him. But you know what they said. And they said, you're his disciple, but we're Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke unto Moses, but as for this fellow, we know not from where he is. It shifts now, verse 30. Now the blind man is teaching and preaching. Now he becomes in the church, he becomes because of his life, because of his changed life, it allows him to speak into their life. He starts speaking, he starts teaching. In verse 30, he breaks down the word, but he knew a little bit of word. He was outside the temple, outside the church. So I guess he was listening. He would go in, but he knew some word and he put it on them. He started teaching them. Listen to the shift. The man answered and said unto them, why hearing is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence it is, and yet he hath opened my eyes. Man, we got this beautiful miracle that just happened. Verse 31, break it down. What do we know? Now we know that God heareth not sinners. Uh-oh. So what do you mean God doesn't hear sinners? God only hears sinners when they're asking for repentance. When they're crying out to God, forgive me, God, I'm coming back home. But if any man be a worshiper, you got a sinner, you got a worshiper. Look how he's teaching supposedly the religious folks. We know that God doesn't hear those that are practicing sin, that are living in sin, that are just sinners. They never communicate with God. God ain't listening for them. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, you got to worship and do. Underline both of those. Gives us the insight to how to hear from God. And how to be heard by God. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, he heareth him. Somebody say amen. Why can't I hear you? Then I got to line up my life. Where's my life at in relation to these things? Am I practicing sin? Am I worshiping God? Am I doing his will? Self-examination, self-check. Look at verse 32. Since the world began. Man, this dude is teaching now. He's breaking it down. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? Now, there was others that were blind and he opened their eyes, but we ain't never heard about one being born blind and his eyes were open since the world began. Make a note of it. Those of you that are taking notes, that was prophesied in the Old Testament, Psalms 146:8, Exodus 4:10-12, Isaiah 35:4-5. Let me say it again. Psalms 146:8, Exodus 4:10-12, Isaiah 35:4-5, that God would come and open the eyes of the blind. It was already prophesied. So when he's teaching them, their mind goes right to these scriptures. He's teaching now. He's breaking it down. Verse 32 again, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Verse 34. They answered and said unto him, man, you was altogether born in your sins. Dude, you ain't never been nothing. Your mama wasn't nothing. You ain't nothing. And you trying to teach us? And they kicked him out the church. Got to go. That's a cold church, boy. It's a cold place to be. That temple was cold, a cold place. No love, no light, no salt. And remember, God hadn't spoken for 400 years, I believe it was. Correct, Pastor Manny? Was it 300, 400? From Malachi to Matthew, it's about 400 years. So God hadn't spoken. So it was no prophecy going on. It was just quiet. And then John the Baptist starts talking about Jesus is coming. So as they're talking the word, they understand the word. But see, for those, that's a long time to be doing your own thing. And then somebody comes and tells you, you don't really have that right. Amen. Remember when we got saved and we was doing our own thing and somebody said, you know, that's not quite right. Nobody wants to hear that. That's not quite right. Well, you know, God understands and God loves everybody. That's not quite the scripture. But you want to hear that. But I don't want to hear that. Get out of here. Because I want to do my thing. Well, God forgives. That's not quite the way it goes. Nobody wants to hear that. They want to hear this. Jesus was God, because now we got to change. Kicked him out. Get out of here with that Jesus stuff. Hey, somebody been kicked out because of Jesus before? Amen. Your friend said, get out of here. Your family said, I ain't trying to hear all that. Verse 35, Jesus heard, he got back to Jesus. You know that dude you healed? Hey, man, he got kicked out the church. Jesus probably said, good, because God wasn't in there anyway. Don't need to be in that place because God's not in there. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, look at that, Jesus went to find him. He said unto him, do you believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. Make a note, verse 38. People will tell you that Jesus never claimed to be God. In chapter 8, he did. He said in John 8:58, he said, before Abraham was, I am. And that's why they took up stones and threw them at him, because he declared to be God. And here we are in 9:38, and Jesus allows this man to worship him. It's already been established through the commandments. You don't worship anybody but God. You don't worship anybody but God. There's no way Jesus would allow himself to be worshiped if he wasn't God. And Jesus said, for judgment I come into this world. Make a note. When we stand before God, we'll be judged righteously. You will not be able to tell Jesus, I didn't understand, or you don't understand what it was like living in this crazy world. Jesus said, actually, I did live in it too. And I was rejected. I was persecuted. Matter of fact, I was crucified. And I resurrected on that third day. Jesus says in verse 39, for judgment I have come into this world, that they which see not might see, to open up those eyes that want to be opened, and that those which see might be made blind. Those are so, they're blinded by their pride, is what this is saying. They don't need God. They don't want God. They got this. So you see everything, you're actually spiritually blind. And some of the Pharisees, look at them, all of them didn't depart. Remember, it's always caused division, but some were still hanging out. And some of the Pharisees, which were with him, heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? In other words, what can I do to be saved? It was just like some of us. Somebody was preaching and everybody didn't hear, but we heard and said, okay, Lord, I think I need to get my life right. Said, man, that sounds like me. Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. If you were humble in your heart, you have no sin because you allow God to fill it. But you say that I got this, therefore your sin is still there. You deal with your sin. And as we prepare for communion this morning, it's the same Jesus right here. Is the same one that said, do this in remembrance of me. Just a few chapters up, he's going to be betrayed. He's going to break bread with his disciples. He's going to give them the new commandment to eat the bread, which represents his body being broken, and to drink the wine, which represents his blood being shed. Which is the new covenant. I'm going to ask my brothers Manny and Anthony come on up and let's pass out the sacraments. I'm going to ask Minister Lauren if you would come up and just play something for us as we take communion and dismiss. And brothers, you go ahead and pass it out. And I just want you to reflect on the relationship versus the religion. We don't take communion out of religion. We take it because of what Jesus Christ did for us. We don't come to church because it's the Sunday morning. We come because it's the relationship. It's where we come with the rest of our family and we get refueled to go out and to teach and minister to a lost and dying world. We don't read our Proverbs and our 1 Corinthians 13 every day because it's a religious activity. We do it because it builds our relationship with Jesus Christ. Go ahead, brothers. You can pass out the sacraments. Thank you, my brother. So examine your heart. Don't do this out of anything religious. It's not a Sunday morning thing. It's not a first Sunday of the month thing. It's a relationship thing. It's because Jesus Christ, I want to know you more. Because Jesus Christ, you died and you resurrected. Because you live inside of me. Because I want to please you. Because you told us to do this. Just like you told him to go and wash. And he went and he washed and he received. God tells us to do this. So we stay connected to God. God said, do this in remembrance of me, so we keep our lives in perspective. It's not a religious thing. It's a relationship thing. Because God, I want to stay connected to you. This world is falling apart. Lord, I want to stay connected to you. I don't have time to be religious. I need the relationship. I need to hear from God each day. We all need to be led by God each day. So if you would elevate that which represents his body. Remember, Jesus had to pay a physical price. He was beat, was spat upon, the crown of thorns on his head. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. We will not be able to tell Jesus he didn't know what it felt like to be down here in this crazy world. He said, I've come for judgment. That when we stand before him and he judges us, it will be righteous and pure. And we thank you, Lord, that the only way back to God was through Jesus Christ, the bridge that allows us to go back. John 14:6, Jesus goes on to tell him he's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. He came to seek and to save those that were lost. He didn't come in to condemn, but that the world through him might be saved. Lord, thank you for rescuing us. And you offered your body to be broken for that. So we say thank you and we bless you for it, Lord, as we do it in remembrance of you, that we'll never forget what it cost for us to be free and for us to have spiritual sight. We'll never forget what it costs you. Go on and eat that which represents his body. Then elevate that which represents his blood. And Lord, as your blood was shed on that cross, we've been studying in Leviticus. It says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Something has always had to die for something else to live. Even in practical terms, our food has to die before we can even eat it so we can be nourished. But spiritually, you died so that our spirits could be fed and nourished, and so that we could have life in that more abundantly, so that we could truly live. He said, this is the New Testament, the New Covenant. Thank you, Lord. We're not under the old, but we're under the new. We're under grace. We're under liberty. We're under relationship. We're under freedom in Christ. And we love you for that. But it wouldn't have happened without the shedding of blood. So we thank you, Lord, and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we ask these things and we pray. Amen. Go on and drink that which represents his blood. Stand to your feet. You can pass the sacraments to the center aisle. Thank you, Pastor. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hug someone. Tell them how blessed you are, and you are dismissed.